It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Fridays, Alex, is always special, but it's extra special when we have a guest.
Well, it is, and from the news department of the American Family Association, Fred Jackson, just a trusted voice, and he is with us now because, and we will get to your Bible questions. The number, if you choose to call in with a question, is 888-589-8840. But, Fred, first of all, thank you for making time to be with us, and welcome.
It is good to be with you, gentlemen, on this day. The big news story, I'm sure all our listeners are aware by now, very early this morning, our time, Israel attacked Iran, multiple phased attack. But the latest news, and now it's just after 11 o'clock at night, the skies of Tel Aviv, you can see the moon, but just a few hours ago, the sky was filled of missiles, with missiles coming in from Iran. Mm-hmm. It's Iran's response to this, so we'll give you a little bit of information on what's going on there. Various military sources say around 100 ballistic missiles were fired from Iran into Tel Aviv. For the most part, the interception ability of Israel has worked. They say about a dozen of these missiles may have gotten through, some of them just partially, so we had debris that was falling. What we understand at this point, about a dozen people may have been mildly injured. If you're looking at the TV shots, the images coming out of Tel Aviv tonight, you may have seen some buildings that were hit. We understand that most of the residents of Tel Aviv have been in bunkers. They've now been given the all clear to come out. We've also just learned in the last half hour or so a confirmation that the United States military has been able to help Israel this evening in the way of intercepting those missiles. We have destroyers that are in the eastern portion of the Mediterranean. The U.S. tells us that there are two more U.S. destroyers headed for the eastern part of the Mediterranean to be of assistance. The United States at this point wants to stress that they are in a defensive mode. They are not involved in an offensive way yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. When I hear this, the first thing you think about, it was about time, because we knew Iran was doing everything against any kind of settlement concerning nuclear power. And I heard this observation. I'd love to comment, both of you comment on it. Said, most of the time people think the United States are interact to protect Israel, to help Israel. This commentator said, this is right reverse. This is Israel doing the work and really helping the United States, because Iran is an enemy of the United States as well as Israel. Would you say that would be a fair?
No question about it. Some are saying, some of these analysts are saying that this attack that Israel launched overnight probably has been about 10 years in the planning. Mm-hmm. They have been waiting for this. But they couldn't wait any longer because there is a belief that Iran has been stalling in these negotiations that the United States has been involved with. They've been stalling, putting it off, because they are at the brink of having the capability to launch a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
So Israel felt now was the time they needed to do this. But the details coming out of the operation over the last 18 hours that Israel, what Israel has done, one of the things that just amazed me completely, we now know that Mossad, which is the Israel-renowned intelligence agency, the Mossad has been on the ground in Iran perhaps for months, and they were to develop, they developed a drone base inside Iran to be there to initiate these attacks that occurred, well, Friday morning, Israel time. And so there have been hundreds of sorties, they call them, Israeli fighter jets Now, it's a long distance from Tel Aviv to Tehran, about 1,000 miles.
Wow.
These jets have to be refueled somewhere. That's a bit of a mystery right now, whether it was airborne refuel or perhaps Saudi Arabia, perhaps Qatar. Remember, Trump visited all these countries very lately?
Yeah.
Perhaps they were involved. They will never admit it.
Sure.
They were involved in perhaps the refuel. But as we are sitting here right now, gentlemen, the Israeli attacks are continuing.
Yeah.
There is going to be many waves of attacks. You probably have heard the reports earlier today in these initial Israeli attacks. Several high-ranking Iranian military people were taken out. They were in their beds. It was 2:30 in the morning.
Drones shooting in windows.
Yes, they took them out. Also, some of the key scientists involved in developing the nuclear capability for Iran, they also went off into eternity.
Fred, let me ask you this. That, for example, John Bolton, who was UN ambassador under Bush and then national security advisor under Donald Trump in the first term, he was very critical of the fact that during the second Obama administration, the ability to enrich plutonium was granted. And I remember this, and Bolton was quoting this morning, that in sort of legitimizing helping Iran have nuclear capabilities, that Barack Obama said, well, if they ever do have a weapon, it will be 10 years from now. Well, it's 10 years. And the best Israeli intel said that they were weeks away from having created a successful nuclear warhead. I guess I would have a twofold question. One, for goodness sakes, why would an American president jeopardize the world by encouraging Iran to have nuclear capabilities?
Well, I think there can be many answers to that. But I think anybody with the understanding of Islamic thinking, that the Islamic radicals who now run Iran have stated publicly for years they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth,
yeah,
and also the United States. So your question is an interesting one. Why would an American official think it's okay for them to develop? I think we know enough now, if you haven't in the past, that Iran can't be trusted. Mm-hmm. They lie.
Yeah.
They lie. They have every intent of destroying Israel, every intent of going after the United States. Mm-hmm. So I think we have a president now that certainly understands that.
Yeah.
There's been a little bit game been playing lately, where Trump, we were told, was angry with Netanyahu, saying don't attack Iran. That now appears to have been a bit of theater.
Hey, political theater.
Hey, yes. Fred, could you stay a little longer since we didn't get started on time? I got two or three other questions.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Alex, it's good to have Fred here. And this is a special edition of Fireway Friday. So we'll be back right after this break with more. Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
I've seen shame, the kind that comes from mistakes. The kind that won't go away. When I turned around, they were right there to remind me. I've seen regret, the kind that messes with your head. The failures and the can't forgets. But standing here now,
I'm thanking God it's behind me, 'cause I've seen nail-scarred hands reach out and wipe it all away.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is Bert and Alex. It's Fireway Friday, but we're doing a little bit different. We've got Fred Jackson. He's the news director here at AFR, and we're going to spend time talking about what's taking place in Israel and Iran. And so, Fred, thank you for staying with us again.
Yes.
Okay. You're on adrenaline time now, since 3 o'clock, and man, been busy, but appreciate you taking your time to be with us. I really
Absolutely.
Mean that, because I think this is important to do so. Here's what I want to share with you guys, and I want your input on this. Iran, and you know, the other program I do is Exploring Missions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest countries in the past 10 years where believers have come to know Christ is in Iran.
Yes.
So here it is. I was thinking about this, how to say this. Iran's government could care less about its people.
Yes.
When it comes time to destroy Israel.
That's right.
And they don't care what price they can pay concerning their people.
Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting that you bring that up, because I think on at least one or two occasions in the last 18 hours, Prime Minister Netanyahu has reached out to the Iranian people. He has reached out to them. He has said, and I'm paraphrasing here, saying, "We," referring to Israel, "are with you, the Iranian people."
Yes.
He understands that. Also, there are elements, it's been reported as late as this afternoon, there are Iranian elements that are helping the Israeli military. Also, Mossad agents have been able to work with those Iranian elements and actually become part of the population as well, because Mossad agents learn to speak the language of the people. And so there is a collaboration going on between the Iranian people and Mossad to bring this about. But I thought it was really interesting that Netanyahu today, in the midst of their country being bombed, that he was reaching out to those people and saying, "We're with you."
Amen.
Because the belief is the majority of the Iranian people do not want the Islamic regime that's ruling over them right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. And let's talk about this, though. In the radical Islamic worldview, Israel just doesn't have the right to exist.
Correct.
And I know, Fred, I was literally on the Temple Mount talking to a group of college students. They were in the hijab. And by the way, Bert and I will be with Tim Wildman in Israel next March, 2026. We'd love for you all to go with us. And go to Wildman Group Tours, and you can learn about that. But Fred, I've had American academics say to me that they did not believe that there was that much animus against Israel. But I've heard it in Canada, America. But I was literally in Israel talking to about 8 college students, and they were Islamic, and a girl was shouting unrepeatable slurs against Israel. And she said, "What do we want? We want Israel thrown to the bottom of the sea."
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's Ishmael versus Isaac, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, this goes back to time immemorial.
Yes. Yeah, if, you know, we speak, what is the evidence of biblical truth? The evidence of biblical truth, we are seeing it today.
You are.
I mean, the divisions that started, you mentioned Isaac and Ishmael. We go back to that, the divisions that occurred. Read through it, you guys. What am I saying? You guys, you read through the Old Testament, that division, that tension is there. When the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they ran into opposition on the way to the Holy Land. Who were these groups of people that they ran into? They were descendants of Ishmael.
Right.
So it's I find today that it is wonderful to be able to look at what's happening in the last 24 hours from that biblical perspective, because Iran, Persia. All right. So bring all of that into this. I mean, you read Esther. What was Esther all about? Kill all the Jews.
Haman wanted to genocide against Esther's people.
So what are we experiencing the last 24 hours? It's basically kill all the Jews.
That's it.
And when you stop and you draw back and you say, wait a minute, if somebody was being really honest, there this tiny group of people, there are about 9 million people in Israel proper. That's all, 9 million. They just want to live in peace. And it's amazing. So, and you ask, well, why is the world so, the United Nations, you know, why do they hate these? You cannot explain that rationally. It has to go to a spiritual explanation.
Let me take it further back than Isaac and Ishmael. Satan wanting to be in God's position.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. And Israel, God's always had a plan. Genesis chapter 12, through you, I am going to bless all the families of the earth.
Yes.
That was marching orders that Satan would hear and say, don't want that to happen.
Yes.
So the whole attack concerning the Jewish instill, and when we as believers receive some of that animus toward us, you know, that's it. It's Satan. And I want one more thing, and I saw this right before I came in, and I remember Representative Mike McCall from Texas, and I was looking. He used to be a part of the foreign relations, and he was always, if I remember right, he was involved in it before he got to the position of representative. He was in the business of military and undercover and all of that. He said this, and it goes along with what you said, so I wanted to amplify on it a little bit. He says this is the perfect time for the people of Iran to overthrow this evil regime. That was Representative Mike McCall. I said, let me check one more thing before I go in there. Mm-hmm. What a time. They would have a lot of support right now if that could happen. Mm-hmm. This happened, was it under President Clinton, when they were going to overthrow this regime and America stepped back?
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Fred?
Yes.
And that's been a years ago. I don't know if you remember it or not, Alex. Fred and I got a few years on you, so we may move that.
Too many.
Okay. But you see what I'm talking about? And here it is again.
Yes.
This may be the perfect time.
It may be. It's going to be interesting. I've heard some of these Pentagon people, others, the analysts that were on Fox today in particular, talking about Iran probably does not want the United States to get involved offensively in this. We mentioned off the top of the program, they are involved defensively right now, helping Israel to defend against the attacks from Iran that occurred in the last 3 hours. However, it would be very bad news for Iran if the United States gets involved in an offensive way. We have a lot of weaponry in the neighborhood right now.
And more coming.
All right. Because that would finish the Islamic regime, and they know that. So some of these military experts are saying, in the minds of the civilian leaders of Iran right now, they understand they could not withstand both the United States and Israel attacking them. It would be done. It would be finished. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I want you guys are the biblical experts. People are starting to talk even today about Ezekiel 38:39, because in the last 24 hours, Putin in Russia has offered to be a mediator. Vladimir Putin.
Surprise. I got one thing. Surprise.
Yeah. And also, some people are talking about China coming in as a mediator. No. Yeah. You talk about putting the fox in the chicken house.
Right.
That's the last thing you would want. But folks, be watching this over the next 2 or 3 days this weekend. You're going to see some of these other players coming in. But the question I wanted to ask you, because people are going to say, we're going into our churches, our Sunday school classes on Sunday. I think a lot of classes are going to be talking about this. Are we at that 38:39 Ezekiel yet?
We're close.
Okay.
I mean, we're close. I don't know that we can definitively say that we're there. But I've got to give a little bit of backstory and what Barack Obama did in 2015, although the talks of this went back to 2008, there was something called the Frame Agreement. And the bottom line, and this is beyond my level of understanding, but they talk about the ability to enrich uranium. Mm. And enriched uranium, there are three isotopes that scientists can manipulate, and they make it purer and stronger. And when you get to a certain percentage, it's capable of being used for a bomb.
Yes.
Okay. Now, plutonium and uranium is used for power plants. It's used for powering nuclear submarines and ships. It can also be used for weaponry. And there were a lot of, and I'm not talking conservative Christians, but just people around the world, that as Barack Obama in his second term seemed insistent to make sure Iran had nuclear capabilities, a lot of countries in the world looked askance at this. Now, the plutonium was coming out of France, and many, many countries, because they do use these for power plants too, you know, power grids. Barack Obama wanted 10% of uranium and plutonium production to go to Iran. And that was what he argued for. And the Ayatollah promised. Now, Fred, I want you to comment on this quote. When other nations were saying, look, this ideology and the mullahs and the imams that want Israel dead and want a worldwide caliphate, the Ayatollah at that point promised if there was a deal, please, please let us have nuclear capabilities. And keep in mind, folks, we are said that we're weeks away from Iran being able to develop a functional nuclear warhead. But at the time, when they were trying to sell this deal to the world, the Ayatollah said, quote, we will never stop supporting our friends in the region, will not attack the people of Palestine, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Bahrain, and Lebanon, end of quote.
Yeah.
So what entity did he not promise not to attack?
Like sticking out like a sore thumb, he didn't mention Israel.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it begs a question, I guess, back to you guys. Why would Barack Obama feel comfortable even making that proposal?
I've got two proposals. See what y'all think about it.
And why would that have been a priority?
Okay, yeah. Here it is. Appeasement.
Mm.
Appeasement.
Oh,
okay.
Sure.
How do you appease radical Islam? He had no understanding. I don't think he wanted to bring on a war. I don't believe that. But he had no understanding of radical Islam and their desire for the caliphate. He didn't think. And the other, if we can just get along. You remember that phrase?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Neville
Chamberlain.
Yes, and it happens in riots in L.A. Was it 96?
Yes.
Can't we just all get along?
Yeah.
And Reagan, President Reagan, more than anybody else, we want to come from a position of power.
Strength.
Strength.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think those two things had something to do with Obama, or do you think he was more conniving than that?
Well, I wouldn't trust Barack Obama. I'm sorry. I wouldn't. Look at the world right now. And I'll mention, most folks know I come from Canada. Canada has a new prime minister just in the last few weeks. One of the first things he did in the last 10 days was get himself linked up with France and a few other countries to condemn Israel.
Yeah.
To condemn Israel. All right? He's a globalist, the new prime minister. He's an extreme globalist. Listen, and this is where it goes to biblical terms. It's because the world, for the most part, is in the camp of Satan. Satan hates the Jewish people. Again, you cannot explain this rationally. Tiny, tiny, tiny little Israel just wants to get along, all right? And yet the world wants to destroy it. You know, it's really interesting. The pressure on Israel, it's come up again. Let's have the two-state solution. The radical Palestinians, Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran, they don't want a two-state solution. They want a one state.
Absolutely.
By the way, Israel.
Let me just say this. Muhammad was born in 571 AD. Islam started about 610 AD. Well, you know, the left is all about the rights of indigenous people group. Well, when Islam was birthed, the Jews had been in the land of Israel 3,500 years. Oh. So whenever people say to me, Fred, they'll say, oh, well, but that land belongs to those Palestinians, which is a really modernized way of saying Philistines.
Yes.
I mean, folks, this goes back. Here we are in 2025. You want to be up to date with tomorrow's news? Read the Word of God.
Amen.
I mean, even Mark Twain, who was not a Christian, sadly, but Mark Twain said, if there's anything that makes me believe in God and the supernatural, it's Israel.
Yes.
And this was several decades before the rebirth of the nation of Israel, May 14, 1948. But even Mark Twain, an atheist, said, there's an inexplicable spiritual animus against the Jews. Why?
Let's take phone calls. Okay. Let's do that. That number, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Get your phone call in today.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, the Friday edition. We call it Fire Away Friday. We're so honored to hear from you. If you've got a Bible question, you may call in at 888-589-8840. Bert and Alex, very great honor to have Fred Jackson of the news department with us. And Fred, I want to say thanks for, you keep a pretty busy schedule, and to be with us for an hour today, we are grateful.
Well, I twisted his arm.
Okay.
No, thank you for staying, Fred.
Hey, listen, with what's going on in the world right now, want to be here, want to be talking to our folks.
Amen.
Because we know they love the nation of Israel, and they want to know what's going on.
So we're to pray for the peace of Israel. That's something in the script.
Psalm 122:6.
Okay. And so what a time. So pray for their defense. Pray for them as they go on the offensive, that it'll be effective, so it will help them. Well, let's go to the phone lines. We do have people call in, and we appreciate you doing this today, not a regular Fireway Friday. It is Jan in Louisiana. Jan, thank you for calling.
Hey, how are y'all?
Doing good. You have a question for us today?
I do. Thank you, and God bless y'all. I listen to y'all all the time, and I have a question about the woman that was brought to Jesus who had been caught in adultery. I want to know why, or where was the man that she was caught with, and why didn't they bring him as well?
Okay. We talked about this earlier. Guys, do y'all think it might have been, I'll just give you my opinion, a setup? And, I really do. Now, she'd been there, but I believe this time was a setup. Alex?
I don't know, but, you know, Billy Graham said that as Jesus wrote in the dirt, probably writing some of the Ten Commandments, that Jesus said, he who is out without sin cast the first stone, and they went away one by one. And Jesus said, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none, because those men probably had consorted with her in times past.
Yeah, I agree with that. But they had to be watching and know this. This is some form of, okay, we can catch her.
Yeah.
And Jesus is in town. Yeah. He's passing through. This would get him.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. In that passage, does it say the oldest left first?
From the oldest to the youngest.
As Jesus began to write whatever, that the oldest left first. I always found that fascinating.
There's another possibility of what he wrote in the sand was names.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of those individuals. Okay, Jan, I notice you have another question. What is it?
Thank you so much. Yes, I do. But first I have, So you all had spoken about this earlier today on your program today?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, awesome. Okay. So my next question is about Sarah and Hagar. I know God gives us a free will choice, but I wondered, you know, God had told Abram and Sarah that they would be the father to many nations, and they didn't wait on God to bless them with children. And so Sarah told her handmaid Hagar to go in and lay with Abraham, and they had Ishmael, which are the people who are warring against the Israelites today. And so I just wondered why. Why did God allow that? I don't understand.
Okay. There's something we don't know exactly. There's speculation. Let me add another name. We've talked about Ishmael. How about Esau? You see, so the Edomites, they're from Esau. So it's not just a strand. It's a double thing there. And Jan, I'd say this. I believe it is a demonstration of, even in the Christian life, the carnal and the spiritual. The battle goes on within. Paul said, those things I want to do, I find myself not doing, and vice versa. Uh-huh. So the battle has always been there, hasn't it, Fred?
No question about it. And even as Christians, those of us who have been believers for years, I think as you go on in your Christian life, you become more aware of the battle.
You do.
You know, and you begin to understand more and more, wait a minute, this thing I'm seeing in front of me, this is not good. But I know who's putting it there, and to beware of it.
I heard a story about an 80-year-old man and a 30-year-old guy talking, and the 30-year-old guy said, I can't wait to get 80, so I won't have all these difficulties. He said, you won't have to live longer than me, and they don't go away. Alex?
Well, you know, that's true, and Abraham and Sarah ran ahead of God, but now God did promise Hagar that the children born of her son would become a great nation.
Yes.
And I want to say this, and listen, I think I'm the most pro-Israel conservative evangelical you'll ever meet, but God does love the Arabic people.
Yes.
God loves those that are caught in the false religion of Islam. Hey, by the way, I got to say this. I've got a very, very academic world religions book from the 20s, Samuel S. Braden, and there's a lot of history of Islam, and he said Islam seemed to be the only religion devised to be in conscious opposition to Christians and Jews.
Hmm.
And so you've got to understand, this is what I think a lot of woke modern people don't understand about when we're talking about the dynamics of the Middle East, that Islam, it was birthed out of an animosity toward Christians and Jews. And we see that to this day. But Isaac was the child of promise. And of course, it's through the line of Isaac that ultimately the Savior of the world was born, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, let's go to North Carolina and talk to Chris. Chris, thank you for calling.
Hello. Hey, thanks for having me on. I've called a couple of times, and it's always a blessing to get on and talk to you guys and ask you a question. My question this time is on, you know, we see in the Old Testament and the prophets, you know, I think Malachi, where God talks about how, you know, he whistles for the nations to kind of punish Israel all the way to the point where he gets them all together and, you know, in the end times where he actually punishes the nations when he defends Israel. But, you know, we get a point where Israel, it's just a cast out of the land again before Jesus himself comes back. So I'm just wondering, like, what are your thoughts on that, like, on the current events? And, like, you know, it really seems like nations are gathering, and Israel is not, you know, as a nation, you know, redeemed from God, but yet he's still the apple of their eye. So, you know, I just wonder, like, what are your thoughts on how us as America and even Israel's enemies navigate this? Like, how much do you think it's just God's providence and his divine sovereignty kind of orchestrating world events?
Okay.
And I'll get off the phone. You
okay, Chris. Thank you. Alex, comment.
Well, yes, Israel is the apple of God's eye. Now, it doesn't mean that they're automatically born again, but the Bible says unto Israel were committed the oracles of God. We have the Old Testament scriptures through Israel. We have the New Testament scriptures through Jewish believers. We have this land where God you know, ultimately Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem during the millennium. And so God is not done with Israel. The covenant promises of land, and one day the Jews will occupy their land in a state of belief. So even though predominantly for 1900 years, the gospel has been in the hearts and hands of the Gentiles, that doesn't mean that God doesn't still love Israel, and he has plans for the precious Jewish people, and someday those plans will be realized.
We have talked about this in Romans as we've gone through
Romans
9. It shows God's not through with them, and God can have a dual line of people, you know? Yes, he's got the church, praise the Lord, but he also has plans for Israel as well.
Can I advertise right now? Dr. David Jeremiah, his program Turning Point is on at 5:30 in the morning. Since I'm up early, I get to hear it. Right now, he's going through Revelation, and the programs that you're hearing, he said he preached over 42 Sunday nights, just the book of Revelation, and he's going through that. So if you think that the story is over for Israel and the Jewish people, you need to read Revelation. And if you can tune in at 5:30 and listen, I think he's in chapter 12 of Revelation right now. As the history of mankind comes to a close, it's also the end of the history for Satan. And Satan's understands that during that seven-year tribulation period, that's all the time he has left to try to extinguish the Jewish people. But you know what? There's 144,000 witnesses. Revelation 7 talks about 144,000 witnesses. There's going to be a great revival in that period. And the Jewish people, I think it is, Alex, correct me if I'm wrong on this, at some point, Revelation talks about this wave where the Jewish people are hidden away for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Some people think it's Petra.
Petra, and that the woman was given wings like an eagle to go and hide herself during the
woman being Israel.
The woman being Israel.
That's
right.
Amazing. One correction. For Alex, it's 4:30 when Dr. Jeremiah comes on.
that's true. Yeah.
I should have said Central.
It was good. Hey, Becky in Texas. Becky, thank you for calling today.
Hi there. I wanted to let you know I'm so glad that you had Fred on. And Fred, I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks.
Because I think this attack from Israel onto Iran's weapon systems is great news and one of the biggest stories that there is.
Yes.
And I've been praying for the Israelis to win and for Netanyahu to be able to stay the distance. Mm. And I think God is answering that prayer. And I'm sure that many, many, many people are praying that same thing. And I love the title they've given this this warfare, Rising Lion. Yep. Thank you very much.
Did you hear what Netanyahu did when he went to the Wailing Wall? Mm. He put a piece of paper in with those words on it in Hebrew.
Wow.
Yes. Just 24 hours before the attack.
Okay. Becky, thank you. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Warren. Warren, thank you for calling.
Hey, appreciate you guys taking my call. Listen, I had a quick question. So back in the day when Christ was alive and was crucified, obviously Satan was able to infiltrate the Jewish people. They are the ones that, you know, wished Christ to be crucified. How much do you think Satan has infiltrated the Jewish people today and all the different things that the Jewish population are involved in across as far as leadership roles and major businesses and things like that? And I'll hang up and listen to your comment.
Okay, Warren, thank you. Let me just say this. Satan is going to infiltrate anywhere you give him a crack, wherever it is, no matter Jews. But I think what happens is there are certain ones who have bigger, can I say, bullseyes on them for Satan, and the Jewish population is one of those. Mm-hmm. Alex, would you agree?
Yeah. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I had on the Hamilton Corner a professor from Moody Bible Institute named Michael Rydelnik. I met him many years ago through a Dr. Michael Brown, Dr. Barry Leventhal, Born Again Jewish People. This is exciting. Michael Rydelnik said to me, and he himself is a Born Again Jewish man, he said 55 years ago during the Jesus Movement, and Moshe Rosen, who we had on this show before he died, started Jews for Jesus. He said, Alex, we knew in the whole wide world there might be 250 born-again Messianic Jews. He said, now, there were probably more than that that were very secretive. But he said, those of us that were Jews for Jesus, we knew all the other Jews for Jesus, like in the world. He said, today, I don't even know all the born-again Jews in New York City. There's so many.
Wow.
And growing daily. And this is exciting, folks. Dr. Michael Brown has said it. Joel Rosenberg has told me this. There are more born-again Messianic Jews at this moment than at any other previous time since the first two centuries.
Wow.
Look up, world. Your redemption draweth nigh.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Those young couple that were assassinated outside the museum in Washington just a few weeks ago were both Messianic Jews.
Amen.
Amen.
You know. Amen.
Well, let's go to Texas and talk to Pedro. Pedro, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you guys for taking my call. I have two comments. One is on the Philistines and second on anti-Semitism. First, the Philistines, they're not really, the current Palestinians are not descendants of the Philistines. The Philistines were people from Aegean Sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea between Greece and Turkey. There's a bunch of islands there. It was the people who came on ships and tried to invade Egypt. They failed and then they settled in Gaza. So the Philistines were Greeks. So the current Palestinians cannot say they are descendants of Abraham and descendants because they say they're Philistines, they're descendants of Greeks.
Okay, let's stop there because Pedro, Alex,
fascinating. Well, and let me say this too, and by the way, this is good stuff. You're right. They cannot legitimately lay claim to the land nor the lineage of Abraham. And even if they could meaningfully try to document their lineage from Abraham and Hagar, it doesn't matter. Still, the land was promised to Isaac and his descendants forever, and Islam, and much of their claim they try to attempt to claim Israel is less about genetics and more about geography. But again, Islam itself didn't even exist until 610 AD, and it spread. I've got to say this about, I mentioned the Samuel S. Braden book. One of the things Muslims will say is, They believe Islam is of God because it grew so rapidly in the 6th through the 1200s. Here's what Samuel S. Braden said nearly 100 years ago. He said, the growth of Islam is simply proof that if you hold a sword to someone's neck, they will repeat what you tell them to say.
That's it.
But there were, throughout the Old Testament, what was called, quote, the people of the land. And there have always been non-Jews that opposed the line of Isaac in the land.
Okay. Frank, Brett, Philip, Jay, sorry we couldn't get to your questions and comments today. We ran short on Fireway Friday, but Fred, thank you. And going to keep us up on this in the
Absolutely.
News department.
Absolutely.
We appreciate y'all guys are working overtime a little bit.
Good to be with you guys.
Thank you, Fred. Alex, you're going to be preaching tomorrow at Activate, so we want people to pray for you, right?
Yeah, please. I'll be speaking. The Activate Summit is going on. Plus, Sunday night in Myrtle Beach, Gary Chapman of the Five Love Languages. Go to my website, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. But in the meantime, folks, tell somebody about the great work of the American Family Radio Network. Most of all, though, tell everybody about Jesus. And don't forget, be in church on Sunday. Be in the house of God. May the Lord bless you in all things.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.